Hey there, welcome to The Horrible Show, the editorial video game podcast from HorribleNight.com. It is Tuesday, January 29th, 2013. Pretty sure about that. Coming at you live, like we do every Tuesday night on Twitch TV / Horrible Night. I'm your host, Justin Lacey. Joining me in the studio, Josh Lee.
Hello.
What's going on, Josh?
Not much. I mean, I'm podcasting.
Yeah.
Other than that, nothing.
What about Ethan Moses? What's going on with Ethan Moses?
I'm just doing a lot of thinking.
It's going to be a deep night.
D's deep.
Real deep night tonight.
Real deep.
No, I'm doing great, Justin. I'm doing really good, Justin.
So,
it's good to see you. It's good to see you, Josh. It's good to see you, Justin. Good to see everyone out there in TV land.
So,
let's get this show on the road.
I think we've all been kind of cheating on each other and playing Iron Brigade. We've both played Iron Brigade in recent days with Josh Lee. Josh Lee, who's the better Iron Brigade co-op partner?
I'm going to go with Ethan.
Okay. Tentacle suit.
Doesn't work yet.
And I'm going to go with Ethan for one reason so far. And the thing is, it's really too early to judge, but I'm going to say Ethan. We all had really good teamwork and coordination, but there was a moment where I could hear in the background on Ethan's mic, like,
what?
That he was being,
what?
Like, he was being summoned. Like, he needed to go, like, 15 minutes ago, and he stayed for, like, another 20-minute game. And I heard him say, like, something to along the lines of, and, I'm, you know, this is a paraphrase, but it was like, hey, in a minute, I'm saving the world. and I was like, his commitment, I already knew that, like, whatever happened, like, he had my back because he was committed to the cause.
Well, did I not sound committed to the cause?
No, not that, it's not that, but you didn't have the opportunity to really show your dedication.
Well, I'm okay because we had a third partner in our co-op session, and I preferred having Zach there only because his voice chat sounded like a chipmunk, and that made me giggle.
He has microphone problems. It doesn't matter what we play. Every once in a while, it just starts. It's weird. I don't know how the hell this works because it'll pick up everything he says, but it compresses it in, like, it's like 1/10 the time. So it's super fast. You'd be like, where do we go? I'm like, how does that even work? Like, where does it fill the rest of the time? Like, he just said that, and then it put it really, like, so I'm not really sure what's going on there. It's the first time in a long time I went, I don't understand computers. Like, I don't
know. Ghost the machine, dude. We already, stuff's happening.
Did you
guys play PC?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think
you know what? We could get...
I know.
More dudes in that.
Yeah, and there's others, too. I know other people that have it. We have an entire brigade of iron.
I've gotten into the DLC a little bit.
You went to Mars?
And it's tough. I could use some boys.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. So, I've been playing a lot of co-op with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
We did some. Yeah. We've been playing War Thunder, Warframe.
Is Ethan getting in on that yet?
Not yet.
On War Thunder?
Well, I haven't played with him.
War Thunder. All right. Excited about airplane game. We airplane game on Russian servers. Couldn't recommend it more.
It's awesome.
I was just having fun picturing pissing off people halfway across the word and cussing me out in a language that I don't understand.
Yeah, they're like typing it. It's like Cyrillic or some shit. And I'm going, I don't know what that says, but I'm pretty sure it's puppy tears. And it tastes sweet. More like, but the thing is, like, they all understand English because I'll type something. They're like, hey, nice shot. And they'll put THX. Like, thanks. So they know, they understand.
Maybe that means something else.
Oh, maybe. I guess it could. Yeah.
Maybe you're
THX. Maybe they're just saying, like, my sound is THX verified. It's really, I have a really nice stereo.
But War Thunder, free to play, airplane fighting game. Just enough sim to it to make the physics fun to wreck. And, like, where you can just do stupid shit and feel like an incompetent pilot. But enough arcade action that shooting dudes down is fun.
Yeah, it's never boring when you're in a match. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that game. So I've been playing way too much of that. I'm sure I'll talk about it next week.
Sure. So we're tonight's topic is we're bringing back the THS Action Pack. Gonna round robin a ton of topics that didn't have enough to them to make a full show. But we're gonna kind of clean the slate here and see what the guys want to talk about. And as part of that, we have asked our chat audience to select a safe word, which once uttered by two members of the staff, we will change topics. So tonight's safe word, as chosen by our chat on Twitch TV, is tentacle suit.
Everyone owns at least two.
Yeah. So, but before we get to that, we're going to start with our game industry shout-outs. Look around the game industry. What headlines had your attention? Josh Lee, kick us off.
I had a real hard time deciding between two, so I picked two. Unless I hear a safe word. First up, you guys know how big of a PlanetSide 2 fan that I am. And pretty fantastic game. And it's free to play. So I think especially free-to-play or MMO-like games, even ones with subscriptions, they've got to constantly be changing, improving the game, adding content, all that stuff, in order to keep those players coming back and making money. So it's not just a matter of like, well, let's dupe them into buying a thing from the, you know, on the shelf, and we got it. We got our money, let's run. So they have just announced, or they've implemented even, this roadmap, they call it. It's like planetside2.com/roadmap. And what they've got is a monthly, and you can see each month, like for the next like 6 or 7 months, they've got up on the site now, there are, I don't know, a good like 6 to 8 different features or changes on a list with a brief description, and it shows a score next to it. And then there's a link to go and discuss it in the forums. But people are basically like voting on what are the most important changes or the things that they really care about. And they're going to prioritize based on what people really want. They're also going to maybe not do certain things if everybody says it's a terrible idea.
When's the trucks update?
Next month.
Okay.
Actually, no, really. it's an important part of the trucks thing. So they already have the best truck in the game. That's the Sunderer. So, but the biggest problem with it is you can buy all these sweet truck upgrades like spinning rims, underbody lights, hot grills, silver and gold hood ornaments, cool paint jobs, and all this and different kinds of tire stuff. There's all kinds of stuff you can do, but
and guns too, right?
Yeah, and guns. Yeah. Oh yeah, forgot. And
the least important part of combat,
definitely the least important part of trucks.
Swag number one, guns.
Yeah,
close second.
So they've got all this stuff, but you can only have like one of the cool swag things at a time. You can have like a couple of guns, but you can't have like underbody lights and like hot rims. So that's one of the things on the list. It's like be able to use all your swag at once. I'm like, of course, and so that's getting like upvoted.
What's wrong with that?
That was one of my first complaints about the game.
Relationship between rims and underbody lighting. I mean, you can't have one without the other, and I think people realize that.
Yeah,
it's a glitch that's not allowed.
It's like a lamprey without like a fish to feed off of. Two is one.
Yeah, yeah. So there's all kinds of other stuff too that actually affects like the gameplay and all that kind of stuff. But I wasn't worried about those items, of which there were many. So a lot new customization stuff and all that. Anyway, so map layout stuff, tunnels out of spawn points and bases so you can't get camped, like all stuff like that. They're all like really, really good suggestions from the community and stuff that the developers have identified as well. It's awesome. Transparency is always good, but also in involving the community in ways that like where you, like they choose the items, let the community vote. So you're going to get, cause you can, there's always like an aggregate opinion out there from any game community that's probably, you know, like the best course for a game.
Yeah.
But if you just take the vocal minority.
So they're going to put Nuketown.
Terrible things will happen.
They're going to put Nuketown in PlanetSide 2.
Right. So you know, I thought it was just a great way to improve the game and get everybody involved. And they're just doing it better than everybody else, maybe, than at least for most, MMOs or shooters. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was NVIDIA just launched to the public the GeForce Experience. It's actually a piece of software that runs just like your NVIDIA. It runs alongside your NVIDIA update agent. If you've got an NVIDIA graphics card, you've got the latest drivers installed, which you should have. You got the little system tray thing, a little icon. And from there, you can launch the control panel and now also the experience thing. And what this is it's an application that scans your hard drive for all of the supported games, that the games that NVIDIA has done the homework on and research of, like, how well does it run on our graphics cards. And then it shows you what your current game settings are for that game. You don't have to have the game running. This is, like, outside of the game. And then there's an optimize button. It shows you suggested, this is what NVIDIA thinks that your system can handle settings-wise to make it look the best and play well. And they say their target is, like, 40 frames a second, which I like to go a little higher than that, but really, the average person has no clue the difference, you know, like...
That's why I hang out on Xbox.
Good. Yeah.
I don't know better.
Yeah, and most of your games on Xbox don't run at 60 frames anyways. So they're like, you know, okay, what's... They're very open about this, like, this is our target and all this, but they want it to look good too. So you can just click a button, and it just changes the settings on all your games. It changes it knows where the INI file is for the settings and all that on the hard drive, and it changes it. And I tried this out just to see, like, I'm like, cause I tweak all my shit, right? And I look at it
naturally,
and it says, you know, you could turn this up and this down, this up, this down. And the suggestions were actually really good. And I tried it with a couple of games and yeah, and then the games would look or run better. I thought it was, like, just a really neat way for the person who is the non-PC grog nerd, like, to optimize your settings that you may not even know what half of them mean.
Like, grog nerd, what does that mean?
Like, well, like, half people don't even know what anisotropic filtering is, right?
Right.
I mean, so, like, you know, what does that do? Like, well, you don't... Do you really even
better.
Do you even need to know?
Makes it look better.
Not really. If you can turn it up, though, you should. Okay, because it's going to make your textures look better at you know, at flat angles and stuff and at a distance. Like, those are things that, you know, if you've got a more modern card, like, you can be cranking a lot of stuff up. You may be defaults to off in a game. Like, you can't just trust game defaults. It doesn't work with everything. It's just the games that they've done the research on, but they've done their homework on these things.
They could win right now. I feel like they're in the position to dominate for a while. They've kind of surged back in the last few years to become the de facto graphics cards of choice, right? As far as, like, I don't remember when...
I'm sure sales-wise, case.
Yeah, I don't remember when ATI was the leader, like, when the pendulum went back the other way. But if they can capitalize on, like, the support side, which has always been shit no matter who you used, and they actually have some tools that work for... a lot of people, and hopefully, like, right now, you know, we're seeing a lot of more console-focused gamers or casual PC gamers focus more on the PC, and the more tools they have like this that they can easily use and trust, I mean, NVIDIA could make some fans out of this, and so that sounds pretty cool, because I've never trusted...
Well, I'm a convert. I mean, I switched just this past month, and I've been... You know, I've had ATI cards forever, but I mean, it's accessibility is, I think, is a lot better. And there's also, you know, the card actually does more than just your games, you know, and you don't have to worry about these weird things. I remember when Rage came out and, you know, the ATI card struggled. Saints Row 3, another one where, again, the ATI cards, there was just some weird little hitch with it. And so, yeah, NVIDIA always seems to have something cool. And you got the PhysX, which is, you know, a fun little thing, you know, that they're behind. I mean, it makes some scenes in Borderlands look just fucking amazing. So, yeah, man, fucking thumbs up.
AMD makes great cards. They're fast, and sometimes they're the best, the most performance for your dollar. But NVIDIA has better drivers, and they always have. And for average gamer, and it's like, if you're the type of person who does not want to dick with anything, like, do not buy an ATI card. That's all I would say, or an AMD. Mm-hmm. AMD, the CPU maker, bought ATI, the graphics card maker. So, just in case you didn't know that. But yeah, anyway, so I thought this was cool. Those are my things.
Cool, yeah. The easier PCs are to use in the next year, the more of a head start they're going to get. So, Ethan, what is your game industry shout out?
So, this weekend, when I was done with a game jam and came home and just kind of out of it, I was on Reddit and began following the... huge battle that occurred on EVE Online this past weekend, and I have really no interest in EVE outside of just the curiosity on how that whole thing works, because it seems so fucking complex.
And whoever keeps leaking and summarizing these tales of awesome in EVE Online, thank you for doing that, because that's my favorite part about the game.
Because I know, yeah, because I'll read about it and I'll be like, maybe I should check this out. And I'm like, nope, no way, not at all. Because what he just summarized is like months upon months of things. So apparently there was a huge battle this past weekend, and it's between basically the guys from Something Awful, Guys and Gals, and the guys and gals from Reddit. There's these two big forces, yada, yada, yada. So basically there's been a stalemate for a long time, and this battle happened because of an accident. They basically, you know, they put their – everyone was on okay terms, but they started having little fun battles, and then somebody shifted a big – you know, destroyer type ship into the other person's region, and then it snowballed. So I mean, this whole big event that happened, which is I guess big in the EVE Online universe, was all because somebody fucked up. And I was just like, man, that is so real, because that shit like probably happens all the time in the real world. Like, I mean, think about all the stuff that happens because of like a misunderstanding, or like, oh, that guy might have a weapon, we need to go take it out, and really wasn't anything like a big deal. So it's like it seems like a really embarrassing EVE Online situation that turned out really, really awesome.
For all of us.
I watched a guy's video from he was not part of the Goon Swarm, and it was like high quality, so it was really impressive to look at. I mean, it was just a giant ball of ships. There was 2,800 ships.
Yeah.
And it was and it looked like just literally a big ball of ships. This wasn't like lined up on a flat 2D kind of plane. It didn't look like Star Wars. It was like a homeworld. Like all the ships are pointed at different angles, like inwards, and the different sizes of the ships. Some of those capital ships are so big. Like, because you see, like, the pictures, they were zoomed out really far, because the ships were, like, you know, maybe an inch on your monitor or something. Like, but in the game, it would take you, like, a minute to fly across the surface of it in, like, a smaller ship. Like, some of them were, you know, just really huge, but there was so much shit going on. I have no idea how anyone kept track of that.
Is the money. The money that was involved with that is what blew my mind.
Yeah.
Because they were talking about the Titan vessel, which is, like, the big... Basically, it's a ship that costs a lot of money to make, but is also very difficult to make, because you basically have to manufacture the thing in like hostile, you know, territory. It takes weeks, like literal weeks, to actually build. And these things exploded. I mean, imagine playing like hardcore mode on any game and losing just like a character that you put time into. Maybe you put 100 hours into it and they die. Okay, that sucks.
These people Mr. Dave.
Put weeks and like hundreds, if not thousands, into these things. Mm-hmm. It's nuts. It is nuts. It's impressive, but also a little bit scary, you know, on that side of things. So, but hey, I benefited from it, and I watched the same video. And what I didn't realize is, I guess when those big battles happen, they actually like slow down time like to 10% of what it actually is, so that the servers can handle that.
Oh, mode. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, I didn't realize that with those videos. I guess they speed them up. So that's what everybody was telling me. Was saying on the Reddit thread is, oh, this is really, really slow. But dudes are sitting there throwing out orders and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's like, man, like that's intense as hell and kind of cool too. But I will never get in that game.
No,
but
way.
I respect it from a distance.
I tried once and it was a bad idea.
Yeah. I'm just glad it keeps going though.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah, that's Eve. I think we've always felt the same way. We're glad it exists, but we will never ever take part in it.
It's like a really interesting sociological experiment with video games at this point.
Yeah,
and yeah, the fact that they can fuck up—that's the most exciting part. Like, and like the economy of that world is economy to the people playing it, and it's pretty awesome. I'm going to skip ahead to horrible shout-outs. I kind of want to talk a little bit about Ethan, Brother Moses' checkpoint on defending iOS gaming, something that I know we've riled up in you quite a bit, but you made some interesting points about why you choose the games you do and why you play iOS games, and is there anything you wanted to get off your chest? While you have Josh and I here.
Or put onto mine.
It's the best way to play games while you poop. Oh, no. So if I needed related. To poop on so, Josh's chest, I could play an iOS game.
Oh.
Where's my safe word?
Tentacle suit.
No, but it's interesting that you guys were very... kind of staunch defenders of iOS gaming and mobile gaming in general. I think, you know, Android owners could relate to kind of what you were saying about playing in small doses and that you need those games in your library, but still, like, jumping to handhelds, which I think Josh, Cole, and myself on the site have kind of taken up a little bit more in the last few months. And I'm always curious that I have a process in my mind when I'm like, I'm going to play the 3DS over I'm just going to game a little bit on my phone. And I'm really curious about, like, the divide between those types of gamers. Because you guys, I mean, you're happy with your iOS games and don't see the need for the investment in another device. Is that kind of about right?
Yeah, because I'm not going to play... I'm not going to play a handheld out. I feel like the handhelds and what you could get on the PC and the consoles are getting so close now, you know, that it's almost like, I don't really need to have that extra system, because if I'm going to play outside my home, it's going to be in short doses and stuff like that. So, but it is a weird divide, because, I mean, again, like, you would have a better experience to have this handheld, but I think looking at the cost aspect of it and just that, again, like, I want to get comfy. If I'm going to get deep into a game, I want to be in my home and just... feel real good, real cozy. Maybe have a Snuggie on. Maybe have some hot cocoa. Probably nothing on under that Snuggie, because that's the snuggiest.
What about you, Josh? When do you game on your tablet or your phone at all?
No.
So it's all, if you do handheld, yeah. It's more between the gamepad, I mean, like, and a 3DS.
Like Words with Friends or something like that sometimes, but only because, like, family members are playing it or mm-hmm. something. I don't really have a desire to do it just because. I just don't like touchscreen games. Like the types of games that work well on a touchscreen are usually a little bit just maybe too casual for me. Like, I don't need the fix that bad. But the games that I would love to play on the go just are garbage on a touchscreen. Like digital or, you know, virtual buttons, I can't stand them. If you could get an iPhone and it had, like, and I don't mean like I don't want an add-on thing to put in my pocket to slap my phone into. if you push a little button and they were like this completely 100% unobtrusive, really great quality hardware buttons just appeared out of nowhere on the side of the thing like magic, I would play games on, because sure they're definitely fast enough now to put out good graphics and have a good game experience, but it's just the interface, period. And 3DS, like, I mean, I look at it like this too. Like, I'd never have a top of the line phone. So, like, I mean, and I, 3DS is a third of the price of an iPhone, a new iPhone. Not everybody looks at it like that because no one pays for it up front. They're always subsidized or whatever. But I've got, like, I use, like, cheap phones and I don't upgrade as often as everyone else does. And my phone just does the phone thing. So then I, you know, it's like, well, I can afford to buy a 3DS. Because it's, you know, and do I take it everywhere with me? No. But then again, I wouldn't, even if my phone did have all those magical buttons on it, I still, there are so many places where I personally wouldn't have time to play it, or it just wouldn't be appropriate or something. If I had a completely different lifestyle, lived in a different city, had different traveling patterns.
It's a different person.
If I was on a plane in a lot or something like that, or a passenger in a car,
I
would do it.
If you were Ethan Moses, would you play iOS games?
No, I would. If I was Ethan, I'd have a 3DS in my pocket.
Yeah, and I think our conclusion at the end of that was that basically the games, they weren't game enough. I don't know. It was just, we like puzzle games and we like tower defense games, which worked perfectly on touch screens, but we just didn't want to carry something extra. I think that was what we kind of got mm-hmm. got to the end of.
I
don't know. I like to travel relatively light.
You want to have so many devices on you at once. I can get.
Yeah, because it started getting weird, because I remember one day I was streaming or doing something, so I realized I have, you know, my two monitors up, my laptop, I have my iPad, and then my iPhone sitting there. I'm like, dude, this is disgusting. Like, this is really, there's too much shit. And so to think that I would carry like 50% of that stuff around with me, like going from place to place, I'm like, I have to break down. So, you know, the iPad's a good medium. Not that I would never not play a handheld system. I'm not completely against them. I'm not ready to spend the money on it yet. And the one game I wanted to play on a handheld is coming out on PC.
Which is?
Resident Evil Revelations.
Oh. What about Monster Hunter?
Resident Evil Revelations.
No, I don't like calling her out, but at one point this weekend, Megan was doing some formatting of her mom's Kindle to get it to run a little bit faster, and I came out into the living room, and she had her laptop on her lap, her iPad next to her, with the Kindle in hand and two Android phones hooked up to the laptop while she's like formatting all of these devices at once. And it's always funny when you walk in on anyone that has more than two screens that they're paying attention to at once.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, can I get you my 3DS? Like, I wanted to bring it out.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Well, how many other screens can you handle? Because this is two in one. But, oh, and I think the Wii U gamepad was like on pause, like nearby. So it was intense.
That's great.
Ethan, what's your horrible shout out? What on horriblenight.com caught your eye?
Actually, I was really interested in the Metal Gear Solid Revengeance. I've again watching that from a distance, and you guys happened to play the demo, and I watched that. And hey, still kind of confused about it, but
that's my fault.
You guys did a really good job taking me through it. I realize Josh's patience for failure is like zero. Like literally, you took one wrong sword swipe, and he was like, "Ah, oh, fuck this!"
No one ever gave Bobby Knight any shit for that, right? Or Bill Belichick. Like, come on.
Is that
all the great, all the greatest coaches?
I didn't realize that was your role on this site.
Game coach.
Was it? Are you the game coach?
When you're playing.
I didn't feel like I was improving at all. I felt incompetent.
You know what they say. If you can't do, nag the other guy while he fails.
The funny thing about it is I've been playing Binary Domain, and the story and acting between those two games is actually very similar. I didn't really think about it until I watched.
You mean
Japanese?
Because like, there was a lot of story in that demo. Like I was kind of, I mean, you and you all said, oh, I'm kind of surprised there's as much story as there is.
Yeah.
But going between those two, it's that weird kind of campy, like. Mm-hmm. It's serious, but there's also kind of some goofiness, like kind of some nods to the camera and stuff like that. And so I just thought that was really, really interesting. Raiden looks weird as hell.
Yep. But awesome.
That's something else I took from it. And I don't understand why you need to have so many different possibilities in terms of slicing angles. And I'm sure that's going to like come into its own later on. But
even though I didn't know how
it looks cool.
Yeah. Even though I didn't know how to technically use the blade mode. Or the free blade mode or whatever it's called. By the end, when I finally overcame that boss, which made the whole demo worth it, like just being able to slice them up to bits, that's pretty satisfying. And
yeah.
I'm a big proponent of finisher moves in these types of action games, and just letting me have that fuck yeah, I'm a badass moment.
This is the ultimate payoff.
Yeah. Because without that, I would have been really frustrated. If you take that away from that game and watch me fall all over myself while playing that demo, if I don't have those redeeming moments, there's no reason to keep pushing forward.
So it's not like a gimmick. I mean, it's going to be incorporated into the gameplay.
I'm
like
sure
that, you need to do. Like, I think you had to cut like left hands off. Is that what I pulled from it?
What's that? Left hands.
I don't know.
Cut people's left hand off, and then you get upgrades.
Oh, was that the left arm? Okay, yeah, I know you're right. The electrolytes are stored in there.
Yeah, the Gatorade.
Oh man, I can't even say it out loud.
Is he a vampire? Is he a vampire?
You know, he's just real thirsty.
What he needs
he's just a little dehydrated.
He needs batteries for his robot side and electrolytes for his human side.
Yeah.
So, battery powered Gatorade.
I really hope there's like a Gatorade joke.
Why
don't those get some Gatorade?
The entire premise of the game has been centered around that slicing mechanic. So there's got to be, it's got to get heavier and heavier. And hopefully, after playing it for a couple hours, I'll learn how to control the camera when you go in that mode. Because that was really throwing me off.
Oh, man. That was so frustrating to watch.
Okay, so
like, why is the kid? Oh, stop.
When you move around outside of blade mode, it plays like any other action game. And left stick controls the movement, right stick controls the camera. To get into blade mode, you hold the left trigger down, and then that automatically makes the camera being controlled by the left stick and the blade being controlled by the right stick. So you can't move, but like naturally, my brain just could not process that, and then like the camera was going all over the place, and that lines up your blade, and I couldn't cut anything for the longest time. So it's got a little bit of a learning curve, but I think it'll be pretty fun for Metal Gear fans and for action fans in general. I don't think it'll be the tightest game in the world, but I don't think anybody will care. So
I like the hostage cutting the hostage away from the guy holding on to the little dummies.
That was awesome.
I was like, if you take the shot. I mean, if you've got a sword, and I feel like people with swords have to find an excuse to use a sword. So it's like, hey, someone, could you cut this turkey? And they're like, oh, go ahead, Mike, pull your sword out, cut the turkey. You know, like, it's like they're always finding reasons. So I'm almost like, there's a better guy to take a hostage taker out than some dude with a sword. But impressively, at one point you cut the hostage taker and then the woman's clothes off.
Yeah, that's a pretty good move.
Yeah.
That was also, hey, why not?
Also, all of it is like they're using them as a human shield, so I don't think like slicing is the move of
stab.
Choice. Yeah, it's so. It'd be,
yeah, I agree. It's a stab, but you can't do that unless you use motion control.
And the other dude, I cut the top of his head off.
I think he didn't need it though, did he?
He might have been technically okay. I don't remember how what portions of the brain. What I actually cut off.
This doesn't have Kinect implementation, does it? For like Fruit Ninja style.
Yeah, I don't
cutting.
Know. That's, Nilmar in chat was referencing the Metal Gear Fruit Ninja.
Oh, okay, that's what
they should have that as a throwaway mode.
Well, okay, so when they first were showing off this game, it was just riding at a fruit stand.
Cutting
up watermelon?
Did they maybe use the move? Or did they
I don't know. I don't remember.
I want to say it was a motion demo.
It might have been. I don't know. I'm just saying, is it launching with Kinect support?
Well, it will be better with Kinect, I'm sure.
So when you just hit the button with your left hand
The funny thing
and
is,
you do this,
you
wave it around.
You yell at it. You say Raiden, and you go slice, 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 slice. It's all voice commands.
Like what was that headset thing for the NES where you did that? Fire, fire, fire. You could yell anything into it. What was that called?
Yeah, I was gonna say, speaking of binary domain and voice commands and shit. Like,
are you doing that?
Yeah, he is.
No. I did it for a while, and I was yelling at the screen.
Doing
my cats looked at me like weird. Like when cats kind of don't understand what you're doing. Like when animals shit inside in sand, look at you like in a condescending way. You know that you just need to stop. And just
Big Bo, Big Bo, Big Bo. Good job.
Hey,
good job.
That was a good shot, wasn't it? You leaving me hanging?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Red arrow down.
More of that. More of that, please, Sega. Josh, what's your horrible shout out?
Well, again, a two-parter because this is your doing. I got to say, first of all, nice website. HorribleNight.com got updated.
New design.
Good job.
Thank you, sir.
Looks good. Works on
tablets and phones, and videos work on them. Yep. And
The new layout, when you've got an article with a video in it, looks cool.
And I think the review layout's got an update, so you can finally see the review scores on mobile devices. Mm-hmm. That was kind of embarrassing for a while.
Yeah, so, yeah, definitely looks good. I like it. I like the new fonts.
Cool.
Legible fonts. I like those. So good job on that. But also, we watched a video.
We did watch a video.
I mean, I watched a video, and then I made you watch it, so I watched it twice. This guy, I didn't write down his name, but you can just search on YouTube for Back to the Future GTA, and you'll see, and just videos longer than 20 minutes. This is like a 32-minute video.
Set aside some time.
So there's a part one and two. I didn't watch those.
How long are those?
I'm assuming is long, but we watched Back to the Future, the series continues, part three. This guy made a 30-minute recreation of, and it's a new story, but really he goes through the same motions as Marty did in Back to the Future 3. Mm-hmm. It's actually, he uses the San Andreas game, but with a bunch of mods. He's actually playing as Nico Bellic. And this is edited like Machinima. So he does it up like he's got Nico's voice clips from GTA 4.
All of them.
And you won't believe the editing he does there. And Doc Brown, he's got Christopher Lloyd clips from the movies. So a bunch of the characters, some of the characters have, you can tell which ones he's recorded, but it's jank. Some of it's rough. Some of the camera shots, he's done the best he can. Some of the animation stuff, it's like, well, it's a game. But you will be blown away by how much effort is put into this. Just these completely, like, for what it is, unnecessary camera shots and editing and the way stuff lines up, his transitions, the audio stuff, you're going, wow, there's so much love in this video. Are you going to get his name? Okay, thanks. And he goes through So Nico hooks up with Doc Brown. He gets at the beginning of this movie, he gets the package from a guy, and it says it's from like Pony Express. They've had it for, you know, a couple hundred years, and it's that or 150 years, whatever it was. Like, you know, the setup from Back to the Future 3. And he goes through all this, and there's a Marty cameo in it, but it's Nico's, he's got his own story, but he goes through a lot of the same stuff. So he sees Doc Brown at the same times where like Marty would have been and stuff. So he's 1885. Then he's in the future. He's in like prehistoric times. There's fucking dinosaurs. There's flying cars in the future. The whole train scene at the end is like almost like shot for shot from the movie and stuff. It's crazy. It is absolutely insane. And again, it's not like this is, it's, you can tell it's like low res San Andreas.
But if you have any appreciation for Back to the Future and just an understanding of what is involved with setting up these kind of machinima videos, you'll be in awe of the painstaking detail that this guy went into.
Yeah.
To the point of that it's just endlessly entertaining. And when he like recreates Back to the Future scenes shot for shot, and then interjects Nico dialogue to like continue the conversation, like at one that he must have some, we were thinking he must have some spreadsheet of all the words available to Nico, and he splices them together to make new sentences to like communicate with Doc Brown, and it sounds good, and it's ridiculous, and I was amazed. It was the worst best thing I've ever watched.
For every moment where like you see like where it just looks bad, like where he's got like Christopher Lloyd face, like the 2D face wrapped on like a terrible low poly 3D head from a GTA character, and like, and it looks awful. But then he's like got a beautiful exchange of lines, like it's a hilarious exchange between real Doc and real Nico. Like, what the hell? How did he edit that together? Yeah, but the editing is awesome. It's funny, and the whole time you just feel the love that was put into it. It's way too long, but every single time there's like a scene that just kind of like slow, like something happens and you just start laughing again.
And there's the blooper reel.
Yeah, it's just like during the credits, there's like a little blooper reel thing. It's ridiculous.
This is by Scrap Metal with a K. Okay. That's the name of the user.
Scrap Metal with a K. Yeah, check it out. It's funny. It's awesome.
It's ridiculous.
I don't think he means for it to be super funny, though.
No.
He takes it very seriously.
Yeah, but that's...
That's part of why it's great.
Yeah.
So
next time you have 30 minutes of your life that you want to completely waste, so go watch that.
Yeah, if
it's
you
awesome.
Wanna, we should also just go ahead and put in a Josh Lee YouTube segment to all of our shows, I think. So, because find some gems out there each week.
It's true.
That's going to do it for the shout outs. Let's move on. Let's open up this action pack. Just as a reminder, again, the safe word tonight, tentacle suit. For when we've gotten to the point where you're done with the topic, two votes will cancel the topic, or we'll just go to the natural end because we've got a dozen or so topics to get through, and we'll get through as many as we can before the show ends and save the others for the next action pack. But Ethan, you were excited about this, so I'm going to let you kick it off. What is our first topic?
First topic is the Skeleton Warriors. How come... And this is a trope of RPG games. You always fight skeletons. Basically, every game that was made before the year 2000, you fought skeletons. Always in a fantasy setting. Why in the hell have we not fought skeleton warriors in a contemporary setting? And this is what was making me think about this, because I was playing, again, back to Binary Domain, and I was watching how the robots, when you shot them, would just kind of chip off and go onto little pieces, and they're still crawling, much like a skeleton warrior would, should you be taking his limbs out and stuff like that. And I was just like, how cool would it be to you know, because people are sick of zombies now, and everyone's trying to find this alternative to zombies. But you don't want to stray too far away from zombies because they're successful. Let's take that step. Let's take that plunge. Let's jump into skeleton warriors. Well, let's promote this.
But the zombie advantage over skeleton warriors is the flesh aspect. People like when they de-limb things, they like a little flesh to them, and that's just always been my preference in enemy types over the skeleton warriors, because bones clattering around and falling apart, just it's not as visceral or satisfying. That would be my angle for why zombies have taken
over. But it's almost like the sound. Maybe the sound is where I'm coming at. It's seen, you see little chips a bone. You just and wondering how, like, you don't see how an automatic weapon affects the zombie because you have that flesh layer.
Castlevania.
I want to see how that affects bones.
The flesh layer also increases the size of the hitbox. Because skeleton bones, they're real skinny. Like, it would actually be harder to destroy with, like, modern, you know, like, just bullets. It'd be kind of, like, harder to hit or deliver, like, a fatal blow to a skeleton.
If you had effective hitboxes where you could shoot through ribs and it not actually do any damage, that'd be rough.
See, that's cool.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm assuming that you would be able to miss between ribs or something. So, or just going to, like, glance or just chip or whatever. And I don't think that's... I think it'd want to be hard... I think, too, you're right, it wouldn't be as satisfying because people like viscera, they like the squish, they like the splatters, and you don't really have any of that. You're going to have some dust.
And yeah. I think speaking of binary and domain, the alternative to skeleton warriors is...
The endoskeleton.
Is the robots. That they have a little bit more of an electric flair to them, too, that I think that's the next option rather than just bones. Because
Terminator game is what we really need.
Because the most satisfying skeleton warriors to me are, you're onto something with Terminator, are the ones in Castlevania. And there's just something about cracking your whip on some bones.
Yeah.
That's damn satisfying.
I do like to whip the bones.
So I'm hoping.
Well, what about a shotgun on a bone? Like, shotgun on some bones, man.
Sure.
It's just a scene. Like, I'm looking at the scene of it because we've seen the zombies and we know what happens. And we've seen the Terminators.
But
to see all these skeletons crawling out, it's like, you know.
Because it's just like, it's going to be pure magic.
Present, and you're just like, imagine all these like soldiers sitting there like, oh, fuck, what is it? Skeletons!
Way too long to yell.
Fucking shoot. Like, yeah. What do we even shoot at?
How about can you add like a little bit of muscle and sinew? Just like that first layer?
Doesn't it become a zombie after a certain point, though?
No flesh?
That's a good question. That's a very good question.
Oh, just the muscle.
Yeah. Some sinews and whatnot. Just to hold it together, because here's the problem with skeletons. Zombies have like a pseudo-scientific explanation. Skeletons are magic, 100% of the time.
All magic.
No other way.
Yeah.
They're skeletons. How do the bones stay together? You know what I mean?
Ghosts.
So you're going to have... Yeah. You know what? There's one, I can think of one instance of a skeleton-like creature in modern games, and that's Serious Sam. The clear skeletons, the ones that charge at you.
Oh, yeah.
And jump at you.
Oh,
they charge at you real fast.
I like those things. Yeah. I hate that sound.
And actually,
I just like to make the noise.
Shooting them isn't very satisfying unless you use a double barrel shotgun up close.
And then it is
satisfying. So, Ethan, your shotgun point is valid. I think if you have whatever...
It's because we want that explosion that explodes all the bones.
Explosion of bones. Yes.
Rather than like
all
taking
of them
pieces
go flying.
Off. Because that's frustrating. And then I want a fucking necromorph. If I'm taking pieces off, that's kind of...
Well, yeah.
But you hit a skeleton just right. And I've never fought a skeleton. I'd love to, but I've never done it. But like with a zombie, like it has the flesh to hold it together. But with a skeleton, you hit it just right. Boom.
Let's meet in the middle.
In the sternum.
Dude, let's meet in the middle. All the organs are still in there, but no flesh or muscle or anything.
Like just kind of jingling around.
Yeah.
Like a see-through backpack of. Yeah. Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you get excited when
those will be gooey?
I think are there skeletons in Diablo?
Pop an intestine or stuff.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah. I love hitting them.
I mean, you get excited when you see skeletons on screen. I've never had that effect. Like I think of. Old Clash of the Titans when I see skeleton warriors, and
which is awesome,
man. Okay, so if we had any game set, like good games set in Warhammer Fantasy instead of 40K, well even the 40K stuff, you never see Necrons. They're basically space skeletons.
They were in
that
expansion,
but they're like
of the first Dawn of War.
They look like Terminators in the future one, but in the fantasy version, they've got like skeletons out the ass, and that would be awesome to do if they had some more games.
It's terrible.
You know, in the fantasy setting, that they could have some stuff.
And that might be the limitation of why we're not seeing. I don't feel like we get as many supernatural games anymore that focus on the topics where, you know, like you said, it's all magic based games, fantasy games, paranormal games, where these skeleton warriors would pop up, and
which I'm actually okay with that, but. Shooting with guns is one thing. We just don't see skeletons in games like action games ever.
Yeah,
I mean Diablo is
Painkiller?
That's just.
Does Painkiller have any?
Yeah, it's got. Yeah, but That's not, no one's played it. Like, it's not popular. Something like, you know, but yeah, like skeletons in a, like a widely released game, like that a lot of people play, like something like just where, and maybe you're hitting with a sword or whatever, but something a little more actiony. Maybe we just need, maybe, you know what? We're going to get a new Castlevania game. Maybe we're okay.
Maybe there's too much science in video games. Maybe that's the issue. People just can't wrap their heads. Like, it's like the zombies and stuff in like Resident Evil. It's like, oh, there's a virus. Here's all the science.
Yeah.
Fuck the science. Throw the science out the window. Just say magic. All of this stuff is the result of magic, and we don't have to explain it. It's magic. Why is that goat floating? Don't worry about why that goat's floating. Shoot the fucking goat. Shoot the fucking skeleton with the AK-47. Magic is happening, and we need to stop the magic.
Laser whips.
You made a good tagline for whatever game you're describing. Magic is happening, and we need to stop the
magic. You guys remember Johnny Mnemonic?
Yeah.
The prequel to The Matrix? Do you remember the guy that was like
the
Asian?
I thought it was a sequel to Hackers.
Yeah, it was the in-between. It was the bridge. So there was the Asian guy who had the thumbnail. When he pulled it out, it had the like laser whip.
Yeah.
Laser whips. Sci-fi skeleton killing laser whips. Because whips we know are satisfying.
Whips and skeletons.
Laser whips, you'll cut the skeletons apart. And they could still also explode.
Yeah.
I think that'd be all, like super effective against a skeleton. Because I think laser whip would go right through bones.
Laser, yeah. I like a laser whip game idea.
And I mean, like, lightsabers are fun, but you can't do those. So it's got to be a whip.
I mean, the other root of this question is, Ethan, you're continually searching for our next zombie foe. What is going to overtake zombies? Yeah. Is this your go-to answer for who's the sequel to zombies?
I don't think so.
You made a pitch for werewolves at some point.
No, werewolves is still me number one. Okay. I think werewolves have
werewolves,
to be the next.
Werewolves, then skeletons?
I like skeletons. I don't think skeletons can pull it themselves. But I just want to see skeletons in the contemporary
good.
Setting. I don't think you could have a whole
enemy
game about skeletons.
He-Man is involved.
People would question that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like having a whole game full of blobs. Little tiny different colored blobs. Like, they're really good, you know, like as a kind of like a set piece. But if all you're fighting is little tiny blobs, then you're just like, this is just a little tiny blob game.
What if you
it
had?
Doesn't make any sense.
What if he was your buddy and you had pills you could feed him to change in color?
Well, that's one single blob. Mm-hmm. And yes, the boy. If I was a boy,
it's your blob,
and I had a blob. Yes. The answer is yes. I don't know. I don't remember what the question was now. Werewolves. Hey, really though, write to your local senator, to the president. We need werewolves to come back into to vogue. I'm kind of concerned about the lack of werewolves, realistically.
I think werewolves are tougher to do as a mass enemy. Like, they're good for a single boss
or
something.
Packs.
Like spiders.
There was a cool novel, I forget what it's called, it was about instead of people turning into zombies, they were turning into werewolves. So it was like a werewolf plague, which fucking sounds awesome.
See, that's
like,
just
really,
that
would be
that is
fuck
a,
locusts.
That is a million times. If you think that the human race might not survive in a zombie apocalypse, there is no way they survive in a werewolf apocalypse.
Fucked. Yeah,
werewolves are just infinitely worse. But it's like werewolves are like can be intelligent or whatever. Like there's a million different ways to do it, and I don't think most of them aren't fun.
But
if you need a zombie replacement, it's a mass of like basically unintelligent or they don't have their own willpower, kind of like just natural destructive forces, and I think that's spiders.
What about the big alien insects?
Giant spiders.
Big alien insects.
Yeah, which include spiders.
I think I'm...
Earth Defense Force, there's giant spiders,
alien,
and it works.
I think aliens in general is the next thing I want to come back in heavy dose. That's what I took from XCOM, is I want more of this.
I was really thinking they were going to make a comeback. I kind of feel like it...
We have a game called Aliens in like a week.
Do what?
We have a game coming out called Aliens that's going to be out in like a week or something. Like, it's here, guys.
We'll see.
Yeah, I was really excited about Aliens, so I'm still hoping for something real good to come out on that.
I'm calling Tentacle Suit on this one.
Tentacle Suit.
Yeah,
Tentacle Suit.
Josh, what you got?
Let's see. What do we want to do here? Let's do this one. So, we're seeing some new consoles this year. And, supposedly, I mean, it's going to happen. And everyone's talking about the specs. Like, you know, what's it going to have in it? That's really important. Blah, blah, blah.
I heard it has a Durango inside.
Yeah, that's all... Whatever. You're not putting a Dodge Durango inside of a console. It's just not happening. I don't care how far tech is advanced.
Your Xbox has a Hemi.
It sure does. What about the controllers? What do you guys want to see? What do you think they'll do?
I don't have a problem with the 360 controller.
I was going to say, it's a pretty damn good control, man. I'd hate for them to break what's not, you know, fix what's not broken,
but
I guess.
I will say, in my PS2 days, which lasted a while, I really fell for the DualShock, and it sounds like, at least rumor I read in the last month, is that Sony's going to do away with the DualShock for their next console. That's a pretty solid design, too, because I remember loving that and having a hard time to adjust to the 360, but there's just something about it. Maybe it's just because it's so natural right now, I'm sure. There's some possibilities, but it just seems that is the de facto controller right now, and I can't imagine...
Yeah. You're clinging on to nostalgia. It is, in retrospect, it is not a good design.
You're not going to pitch me a new Kinect, are you?
Analog? No, no. Shut up. God damn it. No, so after having
like
a 360 controller, like the Xbox S controller, that was the first time when you went, oh, fuck, yeah, they can do kind of bigger ergo, and it actually works. Not bigger ergo, because the original Xbox
Duke
controller was the shit.
But I always want them to have a Duke
UFO
option for people. Like, I feel
like it'd be cool if they did it again.
Like
Cole, you know, we got the big ass controller.
Cole needs a controller, and he needs a Duke.
There's just so much empty plastic. So then, you know, the S, and then the 360 controller was the evolution of the S, and the layout was just, it was just about perfect. It was really GameCube controller layout. That added an extra button, you know, whatever. But it was... Nintendo did it first. They did it first with all the controller stuff. So that's, you know, give them credit where credit's due. But, so the DualShock, the analog stick placement, having both thumbs downwards for the most games people play, which is like shooters, that's not the best. Left thumb up for the movement you do with it, which is different movement.
Mm-hmm.
It works. It's proven.
That's why Metal Gear Rising screwed me up.
Sticks got to go up.
Okay.
And their D-pad is still, it's the best right now.
Yeah.
It's better than Nintendo's
D-pads. Of a modern
D-pads.
Controller.
Yes. They're better than Nintendo's current ones, I think, even. And so I think that's like really good, but I think their triggers are pretty poop.
Really?
For shooters and stuff, I think it's pretty bad.
I think the main triggers are good. The shoulder buttons are kind of weird.
See, I think both of them are just weird. I just don't think they're the best. And honestly, the only people I ever hear saying like, oh man, I think DualShock's the best besides the D-pad and all the other stuff. That's all they play is they're like basically what you would call a fanboy. You know, they don't use both equally. And if you're going to be contrarian, I think you're either not thinking about it or you're just doing it to be contrarian. Cause I don't think you think that's a better design. I think you think that you used to like it, which is what you pointed out. But don't sit here and tell me that, because I know you're lying to me.
What are we talking about now?
I don't know. I just got a fucking lecture.
The DualShock.
I got a lecture for an opinion I didn't state.
We all saw it coming. 360 controller, I think, like, you know, yeah, it's pretty good. But like, what do they need to add? I guess is like the question. Like, do they add a screen to it? Like, I think that doesn't happen.
No.
I think they've already bought into these other schemes. Like,
I mean, that's
Kinect
why I keep,
or whatever.
I keep thinking because I haven't bought
Sony though.
I haven't bought a pro controller for the Wii U yet that, like, when I am actually playing with the Wii pad, the gamepad, yeah. I want the non-screen option, too. I think you're going to have both, just with where things are going.
You think so? You think Microsoft or Sony will do that?
I hope they do. I mean, I don't want just a touch interface. They need to have an all-in-one device where I have those options of the buttons, and I don't know how you do that without completely ripping off what Nintendo did. But
they also both have other, like, I mean, there's Smart Glass and there's Vita.
Yeah.
So they kind
are
doing the things that they think that people want to do. I don't think Microsoft thinks that people want to have a second screen to look at.
But as a big fan of
while they're playing
3DS and DS design, I like the double screen, but I like tactile buttons. So I don't know what that design looks like elsewhere. Like, I think because with Smart Glass, there's no rule, there's no controller option. Smart Glass is just used for informational and not gameplay. I don't want to play. You don't like touch games.
How necessary is that though? In the game, the type of games you play on an Xbox or a PlayStation.
When
do you need another screen?
No, but when it's designed around it, I really like those experiences. Like, I mean, Zombie U. That's the whole reason I like the panic that gets set in when you have to look down at your.
I agree. Yeah.
Inventory and there are some fun instances. I mean, it's why the DS is successful for a reason, that there are games that designed around that work really well, and I'd like that option on the big screen just from what I've learned from the Wii U so far. But so what do you, I mean, I hate that, like, I am so happy with what I have as far as I want a gamepad design and I want my 360 controller. And I don't have. I mean, what would you change about the triggers? That seems to be a hanging point for you. Like, is it a matter of modifying the existing controls, or are you thinking we need more buttons? Do you think we need other methods of input? Is six axis a good idea if it's executed well? Where are you at?
I think the 360 controller, especially like their silver transformable one,
mm-hmm.
Because I think.
You like Transformers, so
I like the analog sticks better. I like the way the groove they put in on the the groove and that one, and also obviously the D-pads is better. It's not perfect, but it's better. I think that one feels pretty good. I think the Sony needs to kind of just rip off Microsoft's triggers. They don't have to necessarily be the exact same shape, but they need to have the same kind of pull. They need that. Well, actually, they do need. I think the outward the concave.
I agree the DualShock triggers are shit. Do you like the triggers on the 360? I thought you said both were poop.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No.
I
meant both shoulder and trigger on the DualShocks.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, those. I remember.
Yeah, those aren't good at all.
Anytime I think of the DualShock, I also think of those triggers getting stuck while I'm playing Devil May Cry.
Yeah, yeah. It just, it's weird. Like, your finger curls the trigger up underneath the controller.
I felt like I had to grow a new joint to use those properly.
And something about, I think that's the travel on the shoulder buttons I don't like.
Skateboard controllers, that's what we need.
That's it. And we'll play all of our games with it.
So,
what, like a hoverboard? Like Tony Hawk's Downhill Fiesta or whatever the fuck that game's called? Yeah. Is that what we're
doing? Just wasn't used for the right games. It's got to be used for volleyball games, and then you'll know how, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Here's a question I've got. There's a very underutilized limb that I think maybe these next generation of controls could take advantage of. That's your legs, man. Maybe if there was like buttons on the bottom that you could somehow, you know, function with your legs. I mean, if we're adding something, I don't think they need to do anything to the controls, but add two buttons down at the bottom. So when you slam the control down on your legs, something cool happens. I don't know. Maybe that's your start button. You're freeing up some space.
Remember our
pedals be the.
Remember our suit controller for the darkness that we had? Like, where, like, you're. It was a co-op game with your buddy that climbs kind of on your shoulders, and he's the demon arms.
Yeah.
That's a good bonding experience.
Well, see, that's uses the Kinect.
Suddenly.
Or the Sony camera.
Date night game of the year, Darkness 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It'd be like, yeah. Okay. Sure. You can play like your Doc Ock in the new Spider-Man.
Yeah, two games. That's all you need to justify a controller, right? I think that's what Nintendo's been doing. I mean, does motion control, what is the evolution of that, or does that completely go away? Like,
I was gonna say, like, I think motion control is got to be like almost considered like a periphery at this point. I think you almost want to be separated. Like, you need to have the strength in both. You need to make sure you've got a really good, solid control scheme first, which is, I think, where the Wii failed is it was the motion control was first and then everything else came second. I think you got to have the control down first. Now that Wii was successful, don't get me wrong, but again, I'm looking at like the hardcore crowd.
What about. Anyway. I think this might be a generation too early, but like eye tracking stuff, or like being able to.
I think better stuff with the Kinect,
head tracking
with games a little bit better. Whereas I feel like it's an afterthought now, but like Kinect in the future could be.
No, I was thinking what's the Google Glasses or whatever their little project there. Like, as far as I forget, is it Google Glass? Is that
yeah, but. That's a little bit different because it's projecting something in front of you that's basically an in-between layer. You're getting a personal HUD. The point where it gets actually useful is when they're, and it is the eyes, I think, because moving your whole head, it doesn't feel natural when you do it, but the track IR for the PC in flight sims, racing games, and even like Arma is a complete, is like, that's game-changing experience, really. You completely change the way you fly when you can look around the cockpit freely. I mean, you know, you can do it with like a little hat switch or on your joystick or some, or hold down a button, do it with the mouse. It's not the same. It's just that real natural. Like you can make, it makes a dogfight completely different. Driving, it's pretty cool. But in Arma, like you can keep your gun pointed just forward and then look to your left or the right and then look back in the center. Your crosshair's in the same spot the whole time. So you can be like basically, you know, kind of playing sentry and then just have a little glance. Is someone trying to flank me or not? Nope. But you never had to recenter or retarget.
If they can make use of subtle movements like that.
There's no way, though.
No, because...
Not from that distance with that.
No, I think it has to be some
like when you're tracking like a per, yeah. I mean, they track people, but that's a subtle. You just need more points of tracking and articulation than right now. That stuff is given us.
But it sounds like we're kind of in agreement that the controller, the handheld controller as we know it, it's kind of been perfected. Maybe
it's good.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else they add. I don't think you can add more buttons.
And I still think it's a complimentary control that doesn't. Like, when I hear the track IR, like, I always got annoyed in the Metroid games for the Wii, where it would, you know, I wanted to rest my arms, but when I would, like, lower the controller, then my view would switch. Yeah. And, like, there's certain things that I need to relax while I'm playing games. I don't want to be that intense, but if you can give me short bursts of it, like, and I doing the track IR stuff for, like, a couple minutes at a time when you're focused on an activity like sniping or whatever it is, that's fine. But, like, the general controls, I still don't know, you know, outside of some sort of, like, integration of pedal controls that, you know, isn't... I could see that with the feet, Ethan, but I still... Buying an accessory like that, it's got to be something that is effortless. I don't want more stuff in my living room. That's the other trouble. But then again, with how many like guitar trollers are still out there, those might come back. So, I'm trying to make use of the stuff that I've bought, but no takers.
Tentacle suit.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think guitar controller was the safe word there.
Should always be the safe word. Oh, let's see. All right, pick a game. That you wish they had given AAA money to. You're just going to pick a game at random?
Yeah.
That could also be pick a game. Now, pick a game that you wish they had given AAA money to and what changes and makes that game elevate. So kind of like your mid-tier games, but the actual vision for it and the money and the time.
Well, only mid-tier games, or can we go real low?
You can go real low. You could make your ultimate E.T. game, although that probably had AAA money behind it at the time.
I think it did.
Minecraft.
Yeah? You want to see, like, high-tech Minecraft?
People are doing that, or they're trying to right now. Like, you keep seeing all... We've seen several of these Minecraft derivatives, but with, like, nice-looking graphics... And with the ability to, it's not just squares, like you can just shape the environment by it. You can slice off triangles and stuff. And
have you seen,
looks crazy.
I don't remember what it's called, but there's somebody right now who has an unbelievable, like, prototype to that. Like,
Terraria?
Can flatten edges, you can round edges. Mm-hmm. God, I need to get that.
I've seen that. Yes.
You know what I'm talking
about? Yes. Yeah.
That, I was going to say, that would be awesome. I think Minecraft with the money it now has, maybe.
Right.
Well,
right.
Probably a little bit more, but. Could be, wow. I mean, you get lost in that game the way it is, but the one thing that I think always kind of prevented me from getting too sucked into it was that, you know, graphics scheme, it's not about the graphics, obviously, but graphics can do a lot to really prevent you from realizing you're in a game.
Well,
you know?
But say if it was still just retro styled. But maybe, because you can put like a couple of mods on to original Minecraft and make it look kind of shiny, but it's still blocky and whatever. You know, maybe a little more control, like over the blocks, I guess. But more than that, more content. well, I mean, what if there's just like just an absolutely ridiculous amount of shit that you could do in the game? Like all the stuff is like you can literally craft anything, and like vehicles work and shit flies like with physics, and the boats work right, and you can build boats that float and wind and the sails, and like literally do anything.
I've always thought that the end game for Minecraft almost becomes that you make games inside of it. Like it kind of goes within, it absorbs itself. You're making Minecraft inside of Minecraft. That's the end game.
You have to assume that, like, well, if you had enough people that were really smart and people doing a lot of really decent programming, trucks in Minecraft. Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Real working trucks. You know, like at some point when you can say like, okay, oh yeah, in Minecraft 2 by EA, I was playing it and I made a Ford F-150 with big swampy tires on it and machine guns, and it was really loud. It had a train horn on it, and I ramped over mountains that I made into big mud pits, and I killed dinosaurs. Like, that's the kind of, like, those kinds of stories that make people just shit themselves out of just excitement. Like, you don't get that out of Minecraft now. You go, oh, that's neat, but you don't go, what? Like, you don't just...
It's at that point where it's, like, it's the artistic, like, oh, it's creative, but there's not as much stuff. Well, I think the thing that I would like to go into that, and I know Minecraft is not a combat game, but I look at Ace of Spades, which is
a great
supposedly
song.
Not a very good
great
game,
song.
But the combat that you could, the situations you could have is if you've got one group and another group and you're building up your towns and you're fighting over resources and like good, decent combat, like not janky combat, that would be cool.
Yeah.
That would give it so, I would never stop playing that game, I don't think. You had some really just, you had guns, or maybe it's like just with Minecraft, you're kind of like a, you start out with your stone weapons and eventually you upgrade to guns. So if one team is like doing better than you, or one group or settlement's doing better than you, and they've got guns and you've just got bows and arrows, and having that kind of like that discrepancy, and oh man, they could be so fucking intense.
I know. And the thing, all the stuff we're talking about, you can kind of sort of half-ass do it with mods in Minecraft.
Right.
Right. The current Minecraft. Like you can do all this. You can make vehicles and you can have guns and you can do cool PvP and stuff. But none of it is polished. It's hacked in. It doesn't work like the way you'd expect it half the time. So it's like you're having fun because it's like a one of a kind thing. Like you're like, wow, I can't believe I'm doing this. But it's not necessarily a good experience. And it's just because it's like a small team. It was, you know, it was one dude and then it's like a few dudes and not a big budget. Like all that stuff would be fixed again with the right creative minds behind it still.
Yeah.
Like what if Notch had, you know, 50 guys, and he was good at managing.
How big Mojang is right now, but because they almost have AAA money, but they don't need to spend it.
I mean, they're not that big still. That's still small.
Yeah,
they're working on like three projects, and one of them is just Notch, 10 to the Sea.
That would be wicked. Like if they did it right too. I mean, that's the other side of this. They get to do it right and put the time and effort into it that they wanted.
Oh yeah. They couldn't make any compromises. Like, you couldn't be like, oh, we've got combat now, but you don't have as much building. I mean, it would have to be just as much stuff times 50. Like, very demanding. But if you got the money, you should be able to figure something out. I don't know. Fuck.
Anything jump in mind for you, Ethan?
Oh, shit. I mean, Minecraft's a really fucking good one.
No, took the air out of the room.
It's tough to go off of that one. I mean, there's a lot of games right now that are... in beta or that are coming. I mean, I think for me, maybe Towns might be one that could really be. I've got to say it. I won't talk too much about it, but the only thing that it's missing is that polish that maybe some extra money more people could bring into it, because that could be a very deep game too. However, when I think about it, then I think about this Minecraft AAA, and I'm like, well, all the satisfaction I get out of Towns, I could get out of that. So maybe, I don't know. I'm kind of in for Minecraft. Let me think about that. Damn, that's a good. This could be a whole fucking show, dude.
Did either of you get into do the SimCity beta this weekend?
I didn't get a chance. Yeah,
I've heard some things.
I've heard that the cities are too damn small.
I've heard that too,
and the rent's too damn high.
I don't know which game, but I'm an immersion guy. I think that kind of came to light in recent conversations with Josh. So I'm still looking for like that horror game. Like it's still the genre that I want somebody to throw a ton of money. I mean, right now the best example still is Zombie U. If that had like gotten the love and attention from a publisher and a team that really had the time to do it right, I think I still want that AAA horror experience. You know,
Zombie U 2, if that's a thing, I mean, those are the guys to do it. Still.
Zombie U 2,
and they'll get it,
and they can bring on the Amnesia guys to help out.
Okay, the direction you're going right now is making my mind go crazy because there's a bunch of these paranormal investigation games that are coming out on like Steam Greenlight and whatnot that have these random hauntings. Paranormal is one of them. SCP, Containment, I talked about it last week.
Among the Sleep?
Those kind of games with that scary ass randomness to it, what they lack, immersion randomness. Because the graphics aren't good. Yeah. They lack polish. If they had all of that stuff, and you had random hauntings. You could have hundreds of different things, different monsters.
We had this
different things,
dude.
Different
we had this idea. Remember,
Supernatural Investigations MMO.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
The super secret world.
Ghost Adventures. The MMO.
We sat here on one of the shows, the three of us, and we talked about a game, a potential game where you would have like a random level. Design of so it'd be in different kinds of horror genres. So you'd have a slasher flick. You'd like load up like co-op or something. You'd load up a game and you go, and you wouldn't know. You'd be in like a town or at a campsite or whatever, and you wouldn't know what kind of horror movie or whatever it was going to be until you started doing it. And it's like, huck, where's all the people at? And like, oh shit, there's zombies, or oh shit, there's this dude trying to kill us. A slasher flick, or it's a supernatural
or
thing
a
locked into a house, or giant monsters. Yeah, exactly. All the horror genres, but it was like randomly generated, random. You didn't know. It was like roguelike kind of, but it was like, what is this? I don't know. Look around. Like, oh shit, this is a supernatural thing, or there's demons, or whatever. Like that. Yeah. But that the only way that happens is if there's a lot of money thrown into it. Otherwise, it's going to be retro graphics, that same old horse shit. Like, I am kind of ready for something. It doesn't take that much money to make something that looks pretty good, at least very serviceable.
It's the content.
But, yeah, there's you have to make so much of it. You need
bodies.
And then
we also have to caveat this, that it can't be AAA like the Old Republic. The money's got to be well spent and well placed, too. Because I started thinking a lot of stuff like where you are throwing out lots of content at it, but there's a certain point where that doesn't even matter. So, I would want to throw it towards horror experiences and shit. I had another idea, but do you have anything else, Ethan, or do you want to move on?
Horse racing games, simulations, team manager simulations. They could really use that
NFL
edge.
Football.
No. Tentacle suit.
Tentacle. Ethan, you're up.
This one will be probably kind of quick, but I've been trying to avoid writing anything in regards to the way that people are talking about video games being really horrible and whatnot and stuff. And I'm kind of thinking like, and I'm sure this comparison has been made, but like video games are kind of like the rock and roll music of this century, in the sense that, you know, like rock and roll music back in the day caused so many problems. I mean, it made kids murder their parents. it broke up families. It made people, worship Satan. And it's like video games have these same kind of like, it's kind of running parallel to kind of how that worked out. So I kind of looked at the people that are accusing games of doing all this stuff and realized that these are the same people that like probably were upset about rock and roll music. And now they're just looking for something different. So the best thing to do, everyone, let's just fucking ignore them. Just fucking ignore them. They can't get mad about rock and roll music anymore because rock and roll singers now go to their campaign like fucking luncheons and like play music. Like Kid Rock was at Mitt Romney's. Mitt Romney should
How
be
we get here?
Anti rock and roll, but now these guys are, you know, rock and roll is now incorporated into politics. So they got, well, I mean, in 20 years, video games are going to be coming out. Violent video games are going to be like speaking on behalf of political candidates. That's how everything's going to switch. So if we just take a breather, these guys will get tired.
I've always thought that the comparison to really watch is the evolution of comics, because I feel like it kind of went rock and roll.
Yeah.
It was, you know, evil, and then comics were kind of next up after that. and comics are kind of they weren't that big.
I mean, that didn't have the same effect on pop culture.
But as far as the analysis of I mean, how it affects children and that kind of thing, I think there's a lot of similarities there.
Girls weren't doing it, you know. I mean, that was the thing. Like, it was like, I don't know, but I get it. It's the same. It's a much smaller scale. Video games is bigger than rock and roll. Like,
well, that,
you know what I mean?
That's the most bizarre.
At the time, though, rock and roll at the time was the video games are different from comics because video games were that small demographic. Then they took off, whereas comics is taking off now, way past the point where it's not like it's unsafe to, read comic books.
It's like, it's so funny how much more money the game industry makes, and that we're still having like these kind of juvenile discussions about about it and its effects on gamers, because it hasn't been as established for as long as some of these other media types, and we're going through the awkward teenage years of video games right now as far as public perception goes. And
video games have it way worse than music ever did. It's got that. I mean, there's no way they are demonized like you.
That's debatable, dude. There was a time when Elvis Presley was considered as like the most horrible thing to happen in the United States of America.
The Beatles were considered bad.
The vice president of the United States never went on TV and went, we need to find out if the twist is going to cause ankle damage to our youth. Like, that was.
But there were some close. I mean, there was. We didn't have the media that we had.
Yeah, that's
then.
I'd agree with Ethan.
The scale was pretty similar.
I think you're talking like angry like church moms and shit. The video game stuff is like. I mean, there was never legislation for. I mean, there was for. I mean, the comic books got into some trouble. Although the industry wasn't. I mean, it was decent size, but like sales wise, like it's like, and the reach, it's not the same. Rock and roll music didn't have like the legislation issues that like video games have had. I think it's worse. I think the answer to your question is kind of, yeah, I know what you're getting at. It's like, yes. I mean, I agree with you. I'm just saying like video games like are getting it just way, way worse. There are countries where there's games you can't play. Like game censorship is a huge problem.
There was countries where certain rock bands and whatnot couldn't go. And there was certain like late night television. I mean, when they had, Johnny Carson had.
I don't know if we have the grounds to compare it, but I guess I'm kind of with Ethan erring on the times were different as far as the way that they attack these things and the means that they could. I feel like it's got to be similar. Sure, it's got to be better or worse in some situations, but it feels really. I mean, the heat is on right now more so than it has been in a very long time. If not, this is kind of the most analytical time that I've ever seen for video games underneath the microscope, but. I kind of, maybe it's me being ignorant or jaded, but just the fact that I feel like video games do a decent job of policing themselves as far as just the ESRB, like the way that evolved, and that the fact that a lot of these politicians don't even recognize or know that that's a thing. I mean, there are still repetitive bills, Gifford wrote about this, of basically states trying to enact a rating system or an enforce a rating system on video games, and it already exists, and that's like they're so far removed from what the actual conversation needs to be around that it's pretty incredible.
Here's my question to put it in the future: what's next? Like once everyone's tired of like, getting mad at video games, what's it gonna be?
I think Pogs are gonna come back and they're gonna be trouble.
Pogs are gonna come back and they're gonna cause all kinds of horrible things. I mean. Yeah. But what hoverboards. We're almost done with like entertainment mediums. Like there's nothing really else other than virtual reality, and that's
LARPing.
That's it.
Actually,
I mean, that'll be it.
Actually, like the VR holodeck, like that kind of thing.
Woo-hoo!
That would be a huge issue because as soon as that happens, you think people locked themselves in their bedroom or their basement now?
Don't show Joe Biden 3D sex villa.
Like but think about it. People will just lock themselves away they've had movies and books and stuff about this, but like it. When the virtual reality becomes just infinitely, infinitely better in every possible aspect, and even like the semi-physical ones, than reality, why would you ever leave? It's like if every night you went to bed and you had the most amazing lucid dreams, why would you ever get out of bed? You just want to sleep all day long, you know? So many people would become addicted to that.
As long as Sandra Bullock's not involved.
The machine.
Would you fight against virtual reality knowing this? If exactly what you said happened, would you? And it, man,
we know what happens, and it's called Wall-E. What is fat fucks
that is true.
Floating around a big cruise ship in middle space?
Yeah,
that's what that was about.
Yeah, yeah. Really, that's the thing. That's where we would go.
That's where we're headed.
And yeah, that'd be an issue. We'd all be bitching about it. It's just so weird that, like, I mean, the days of, like, controversial music or comic books or whatever, like, people were pretty dumb. Like, we were not as educated as we are now.
But now we have the days of
contra
music.
We're pretty educated now. We're connected. People know stuff. More people go to school than before.
Further in school.
There's a little bit more educated. And then there's still so much stupid, like, misconceptions about stuff. And you know, I know there's some of it's for good reason with the video game stuff. I mean, because some of the people that are still too stupid are the ones that are also playing the games and coming to terrible conclusions and like doing bad things. But they're just stupid. They're gonna do stupid things anyways. And so, but for everyone else to go, boy, I don't know about this. Like, no, you're smart enough to say, oh, they're just dumb or they're just crazy. Like, it's okay for someone who, if you're an intelligent person, quit beating around the bush. That's dishonest. Just say, let's all acknowledge the existence of stupid people and crazy people. Like, those are two different things.
I think Josh just solved the world's problems.
If we just acknowledge it, no one wants to say it. Like, you'll never hear the president say, like, we got a problem in America. Like,
stupid people.
45% of Americans are stupid or crazy. That's, you know, because they vote, because they have the same voting rights. I don't know why. I don't want that. Why do I want? I don't want them in charge. I don't want them deciding anything for me. I mean, if there's going to be a tribunal to decide who that is, I'm going to be on it. I don't want someone else deciding who those people are for me either. I'm just saying, when I'm king of the world, there are certain people who are going to lose some rights. And it has nothing to do with age or race or gender or any of that stuff.
Gosh, I don't like your version of
Minecraft. You have to pass a test.
I don't like your version of Minecraft anymore.
Yeah, your version of Minecraft just got real dark.
Oh, man.
I'm going to call Tentacle
One
Soup.
Person votes and it's me.
No, the biggest wall will be around my kingdom.
You harvest the cubes. I'll do all the fun Minecraft stuff that isn't harvesting
it's
cubes.
It's not even like that. I'm. You know, it'll be a lot more socialist on the inside than you might expect. But... there's still, at the end of the day, I need to have the say in, like, what goes down, because I just don't trust anyone else. You're just too, you're all just, not you guys, but you're all just too stupid or crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. Video games, Tentacle
Soup. What if we're crazy in
Tentacle
love?
Tentacle Soup.
What's that?
Nothing.
Oh, I missed it.
Josh, you're up.
Oh, man. Hey, free-to-play games, have they redeemed themselves yet?
Hey.
Yes.
Tentacle Soup. Okay. Can I say a safe word? Joking? Is that actually? That's got me.
You can only use it once.
Situations.
So
the latest. Maybe it's I'm playing. I can't tell. Is it? Am I playing them more because they're better and more interesting, or do I like them more just because I'm playing them more? Because I've played some really decent ones recently. I kind of got a little jaded on how many free to play first person shooters were out there. And
why?
Because I couldn't tell them apart, and they're all kind of offering the same experiences. Yeah.
That's the same. Been the same with boxed games on the shelves for a long time too. So so give me a better point.
I mean, I
have a point here too. Asking you this, but
I don't really have a point. Like I wrote them. I wrote them off that they're all trying to rip me off, and I never tried them. So
because of RuneScape and MapleStory and all this other
point.
Shit.
Yeah, because I do. I still associate
Battlefield
them
Heroes
on those ads to. Game blog that I ended up there on accident, and the ads on their sites that will never be on our site, and that I never clicked on, and that they're trying to just trick people to take money. They're half a step up or away from being a Facebook game, and they can't make quality titles. And I wrote them off for the longest time. I'm trying to think of the first one that really made me think twice about it. But the latest Fleet, like as far as like. I think Tribes Ascend started making me pay attention to them because, like, this, it still has a quality experience. And then Planet Side 2, just warming up to it around you guys.
Yeah.
This is actually possible. Like, they can do not a AAA experience, but a high quality experience and then put the free to play model around it rather than just playing part of a game that locks me out from the fun stuff, or actually the other free-to-play games that, you know, I never got into, League of Legends and of that ilk, that was more of I couldn't keep up competition-wise. So that was that wasn't a barrier of the quality of the game or the systems at play, but I feel like the quality has bumped up, and I recognize that, and there's games worth playing, worth my time, that my friends can enjoy.
Here's the thing that's changed. Is one, the people that are making them, I think, are different. Two, faith. Faith in your audience, that your audience is going to spend money without being tricked or forced into spending it. That if they, that as fans, if the fans enjoy your game, and I've seen this, I'm playing a beta now that I don't believe I can talk about, but it's great. This mentality is all the paid content is just kind of just cosmetic type stuff. Everything in the game that's worth playing is completely free. But the thing is if you enjoy that game and you feel part of that community, you will pay money, you will keep that community running because you want to see it succeed. And now that the developers and publishers are understanding that and trusting that and knowing that they're not going to make a shitload of money real quick, but they're going to build an unbelievably solid community that will stick with them and will not go to the next flavor of the month. That is the big change I feel.
And, yeah, it's just a matter of treating your audience with respect and me respecting the developer back. Because maybe it was that, too, starting to... There's some recognizable developers working on these games now. I mean, I think the other one that got my attention was Super Monday Night Combat because I enjoyed Monday Night Combat so much. And I was like, oh, they, like, obviously the downloadable price wasn't working for them, and they had some hardcore players, and this pricing model works better for them, but I'm still getting the same, I'm getting the experience I want out of that game. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think it was just waiting for some developers to take that leap that I had some trust in and knew that they weren't going to treat me like an idiot, or they were making the game for me. There was also this aspect of the free-to-play game and the model was for some other player. It never felt targeted for the way that I play games.
Well, a lot of the games, and you, I think you mentioned the Facebook games that embraced this first or the most, was they were locking away content, and they were really aiming at a demographic that was not us, like not educated gamers, not people that, you know, kind of knew better. It was like people that didn't necessarily play games. It was like Farmville or something. Like a lot of people played that. They didn't play games. They weren't gamers, but they were still susceptible to the shiny syndrome of like, oh, I got to get this new thing, or the game saying like, oh, you better have this thing. And you go, oh, I do. I should. Like just because they didn't have the same experiences that, you know, like people like us had. So, that left a bad taste in everyone's mouths. But then you had MMOs like Lord of the Rings Online, Age of Conan, Champions Online, Dungeons and Dragons Online.
And then when they would switch to that model, it was like a downgrade. It was like
except they started having success. And they started actually making money. Like Turbine was their company turned around because they went free to play.
But think about it. I dismiss Star Trek Online out of the gate for being an MMO, and I'm tired of MMOs.
Yeah.
And then, they've switched to a free-to-play model. I'm kind of giving up on them. But now...
And I think that they have one of the best free-to-play models, if not the best free-to-play model, on the market.
Because it's about, it's about identifying your whales, basically.
Absolutely.
And playing to their strengths, but not treating your other fan base as...
So I was on the website of a game, and Ethan's familiar with this game, Path of Exile. That's going to be free, right? Do you have to pay for that up front? Okay, so it's free.
Nope.
That's free to play. And a lot of people are playing the beta right now, and a lot of people are enjoying it, so I hear on the internet. And this is, this is a Diablo game, like straight up. Free, totally free, tons of content, looks great, plays great. But people are going to spend like anywhere from $3 to like $20 a pop for items, customized items and stuff like that. But they've got this other thing. For $1,000, you can make your own item that goes into the game proper. I mean, they'll design it and all that. You write it down on paper and everything, and they'll put it in the game for $1,000. I mean, this is the kind of thing you would only normally see on Kickstarter, you know? But see that in Kickstarter, like there's four available, put yourself in the game. They always sell out, like on any of the semi-successful Kickstarters every single time. Because there are people with money that are also
I mean,
sure, I'm looking to spend this on something I really like, my hobby. and bang, I can put my, and then they think, now they're like famous forever. That's their mark on the world, sure. You know? Like, but those, yeah. if just a handful of people do that, man, they made a shit ton of money with like, with, for very little effort. They've already got the processes in place to make new shit, and they're gonna make new shit anyways. They're just now like saying, oh, instead of making that axe you were gonna make, put that down the queue. A dude just paid to have his face on a cod piece.
So we're gonna do a Kickstarter or a fundraiser to raise $1,000 so Josh can get a warthog into Path of Exile.
How awesome would that be?
That would be awesome.
Wow.
But what if you were the dude that paid $1,000 to the thing that broke the game?
I mean, that's the beauty of it. It's because they control it, so that's not going to happen. But the guy gets his, you know, his...
Take this comparison for what it's worth, but being a Nine Inch Nails fan and watching the kind of the evolution of their sales model of their albums and other artists experimenting with this too as far as the pay what you want type of model, but also offering these ridiculous special editions and collector's editions that, yeah, your super fans are going to go nuts for, and not everyone, some people could get this album for free or pay $1, but you have those, that just seems to be the model that makes sense for a lot of these online purchases.
There are games, I play a ton of free-to-play stuff that I would have never tried if I had to pay money for it. You know, like stuff like Warframe or War Thunder. Yeah, stuff like that. Like, I mean, maybe I would have, but there's no way I would have gotten everyone else to do it.
No,
but there's, because there's so many games.
Yeah.
You go like, well, what's worth my dollar? It's like freeware's come back, but now you've got a choice in how to spend your money, and you can do it in smaller increments. And you can say something like PlanetSide 2. I've spent more than $60 on PlanetSide 2. But there's also games that I haven't spent a dime, and I won't. But that's because, like, you know, everyone finds their thing. It's like, well, I got so much money to spend. I'm going to spend it on this thing because I like these items best, or I'm playing this game most. But War Thunder is someone else's game, you know, and so they've spent, you know, $100 or something on that. Or, you know, like the Marvel Heroes game that's coming out from, who's that?
Sure.
Whatever, one of the David something, one of the original Diablo, one of the Blizzard North guys, that split off and was that Gazillion or whatever. So Marvel Heroes, Diablo like game, Marvel characters. You're gonna be able to have like X amount of, you're gonna have like 6 free guys from the beginning. You'll unlock other heroes as you play, but if you want Cyclops right now, you can pay $5 and have Cyclops. It's like, holy shit, comic book nerds like myself. How am I not going to do, like, right away, I'm going to be like, I gotta get my guys. I got to get my Cyclops. I got to get my Hulk. You know, like, I'll pay money to get my dudes early. Like, I will do it. I know it. And they know that, too. There's going to be people that play it, and they're just not that into comics, and they don't care about that. But they're going to just tap into the nerds like myself, and they're going to get money. They're going to get a lot of cash, more than they would have just out of the box copy of a game. So, yeah, like you said, it's all about the whales. But everyone benefits from that.
I mean,
everyone benefits.
I remember kind of the beginning of last year, a lot of people kind of predicted that free-to-play games would come into their own. And I was like, no way. But kind of realizing that I came around and didn't really even realize it. And
yeah. Oh, it's a slow transition because they did it. It wasn't just like suddenly, free-to-play is here. It's like, it wasn't working. Now it's looking okay. Now it's feeling real good and comfortable. Now we're getting close. Well, lips are touching. This feels right.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Well, it's kind of like.
And now games are using it as, just like you said, like, it's not unsuccessful to go free to play. It's a good strategy.
It's,
I mean,
smart,
look at Secret World, free to play, 400% increase in the amount of people playing.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Right.
I mean, we had to just sort through the shit there for a while. Like, as far as, like, I remember. And it started popping my mind about, like, the downloadable games rush, as far as, like, look at the first fleet of XBLA games and the sorting through all that bullshit to where we are now.
Where the PC indie scene, where that
exactly.
was and where it is now.
But now you're getting some quality work out of those areas. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like, you know, it may not be, you know, indie games that are taking up all my time. It may be more free to play stuff this year.
There's so many. You know, MechWarrior Online, Hawken. I mean, they're just. It's a gigantic list of games doing this.
You won't play Hawken though.
I mean, I've played some already, and it's like okay, but MechWarrior Online is to me so much better. It's because of the pace of it, But whatever. It's a different kind of gameplay, like a shooter, not a mech simulator. But anyway, so yeah, free to play. I still hear people react when I say, oh, it's, and it's free to play. And I say it like it's a good thing. Like, hey, you don't have to commit to any money. And sometimes people groan still.
Oh, yeah, I mean, my first reaction.
Oh, another free to play. Like, what? It's free. Why are you bitching?
I didn't even think about that. When you were demoing War Thunder to us last week, and you asked me at the end, like, will you play this game? And I was like, the thought that goes through my head is, yeah, I mean, why wouldn't I try it? Because it's free.
Exactly.
And yeah.
It's like a full-size demo.
I used to have a roadblock before even making that conclusion. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not even worth my time to try because it's free to play, versus now that's an advantage to it over even just a demo, because I also know that with my free account, like, that's going to, like, if I want to stick with the game, my progress is continuing, right, versus plopping down some money and taking a risk on something.
But in most of these games now, it's not even a matter of, well, if I like it, I'll try it out, and if I like it, I'm spending money. Like, well, but you, I mean, if you want to spend money, do it. But if you don't, you don't actually have to most of these games. You don't actually have to spend money. If you are on a completely unbelievably tight budget, you really just don't have any money because you bought a new computer and it tapped you out.
Think about that.
You don't have to pay a dime and you can have a great time. You don't have to ever stop playing on any of these.
Not that I'm advocating not supporting these developers, right, but if you think about it, you don't have a game budget right now. You could still have a backlog that you can't tackle if you
yes
of good games.
Yeah,
and you can say that a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's made it tough too because now too. I mean, for a while, free play games, I was kind of like, oh well, I need to put more effort into the games that I bought, and I'm like, man, that's such a weird mentality because there's not really any difference gameplay wise, but you just think, well, I paid money for it, I need to get my money's worth, whereas you're getting your money's worth out of a free game. But that being said, though, I am of the ilk, and I think 80% of gamers are. 20% just can't afford it or don't want to, but 80% of people will support this stuff because they want it to succeed. You like a game, you want it to stay around. The only way that you can do that is to tell your friends about it and put some money into it, you know?
Crowdsourcing, it's
amazing.
And Ethan, you said it earlier, maybe in different words, but you said it. Like, if you like the game, like, you're gonna spend the money there because you want to. At least this way, they're not tricking you into doing it. They're not forcing you to do it. It's not like, hey, let's spend a bunch of money on a marketing campaign and, you know, and like, let's do something weird with review embargoes so we can trick people into buying, pre-ordering this and use, you know, get pre-orders from GameStop and shit before you know if the game is any good. It's like, no, you can just go play it. And if you liked it, pay some money. If you didn't like it, you know, thanks for trying. Like, see ya. Exactly. Like, that is a completely different way to treat your customers as well. It's not just a business model for the people that make it. It's also a way, it's a different way to interact with your customers and a different way to, like, make a promise of, like, hey, I promise it's really good. Try it. You don't, no charge. No charge.
Well, yeah. And with free to play, you have to have good customers. You have to treat them really good. No longer are they just dollar signs anymore. I mean, you have to have an open line of communication. You have to make sure that there's, I mean, just like you said with PlanetSide 2, like, the reason they're doing all this stuff is because they have to keep people. They can't afford not to just have the product. We've already made the money. We're done. They can't afford to do that, which benefits us, but also benefits them because it's always going to craft the game and make it better. And this is kind of like, again, like Kickstarter was great because it was us as a consumer and the developer coming together to support something that we want mutually. And the same thing with free-to-play games. It's the same feeling that's coming. And it makes people feel like more part of the industry because I think, you know, right now people are kind of like, oh, all we have is first-person shooters. All we have is military games. And that's because we have no say in those games being made. Now that we have a say, you're going to see a completely different grouping of games. And I think see things like Warface, which is going to fall on its face.
Yeah, you know, like, I agree.
Because people are going to be tired of it. Like, what's it bringing to the table? I mean,
I've already got Warframe and War Thunder. Why do I need Warface?
Yeah, it's going to get War Foot and War Hatchet and,
War Hatchet? No, War Hatchet.
War Hatchet.
That sounds pretty badass.
Yeah,
so I think the answer to your question is yes.
Yes.
But I'm going to call Big Ass Tentacle Suit.
Tentacle Suit,
that's like a little bit of extra in the trunk.
Yeah. But we've got some topics for the next Action Pack. We'll bring the Action Pack back real soon. But before we get out of here, HorribleKnight.com updates. As Josh mentioned, the latest redesign of HorribleKnight.com is now live. Hit us up on our contact form if you run across any issues. We're continuing to improve it. And you should see my latest annoyance with the site go away in the next couple weeks as we are looking to speed up the load times on the site. Those will become quite an issue. We've diagnosed the problem. It's going to take us a little while to get behind the scenes and fix that, but you should see some site improvements from the performance end, making it easier to browse, and then making it easier for us to add badass content. And then in the meantime, we started planning and looking forward to our upcoming trip to the Louisville Arcade Expo. We're having a few conversations about that, so there'll be some events around that. And Ethan is working on his summary or documentary or video or whatever he's going to call it of the Berlin Game Jam that you recently went to?
Yeah, it was the Global Game Jam, but it was the Berlin leg of it. Okay. So it's,
more Game Jam experiences from Ethan, and we're always looking to keep expanding our indie developer game coverage in the future, and that's kind of what we're working on behind the scenes as we ramp up into February and March are going to be big game release months, and to kind of support that, Josh and I will continue our Tuesday night gaming, and Ethan, you can catch him at least once a week on our Twitch TV channel. Live streaming some games, and we've got more live streams coming your way on the weekends and in the near future. But more live streams, more game coverage. You can follow us live on Twitch TV, and then the highlights you can catch those on our YouTube channel at @HorribleNightTV. Let us know, give some feedback, give some comments, share it with your friends that you think will like it, to let us know how to improve our video content, because we're pretty excited about it. And other than that, for those in our live chat, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. The Horrible Show will be back again in 2 weeks. And Super Gaming Best Friends will be live next Tuesday. And for Josh and Ethan, we will catch you next time.